CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. That's very nice. It's Majid Jordan and Forever. It's Touch Central and CliffCentral.com. It's just about 9 o'clock exactly. And we're sitting with Jono. Jono is a photographer. He's Jono Wood. He's been taking pictures for a long time. I've seen some of your pics. I said to you earlier, and I think that they're awesome. But the real story is what comes behind those pics. You ever had a situation where you've been forced to choose between taking the picture and maybe either hurting yourself or saving someone else from something dangerous? Because these things happen. I mean, we've got a lot of very, very gung-ho photographers in South Africa who've built incredible reputations going into war zones, taking photographs of children who are starving in parts of Northeast Africa. Just some amazing, amazing experience. And for you, I'd imagine if you're in these situations, you probably meet some dangerous people. You probably get into situations where there's, you know, gunfire or any of that stuff. And you have to choose. Do I take the picture that could win me awards, or do I look for my – do I take cover and look after my life?
Well, I've never been in like a Kevin Carter situation. You
would
know,
you?
Where there's the starving child in Sudan.
Would you do that?
I don't know. How do you even answer that? How do you?
I don't know, because
how do you even know?
He has to answer it, and people give him shit about it.
Gave him shit.
We wouldn't. Yeah, well, correct. Sorry, he's not around anymore. But I mean, when he took that picture, he got endless amounts of noise out of people who said, "Oh, you should have saved the child. Like it's his responsibility to intervene here." And we wouldn't have even known that was happening if he hadn't got the picture.
Yeah, exactly. And that was his mission. You know, you're there to stand witness, so someone else can see it.
Right.
I've been in many situations where it's dangerous. You know, there's rocks being thrown or like petrol bombs or gunshots or whatever, and like you want the shot. So
what's the most dangerous place you've been in?
The most dangerous. I don't know, man.
What place are you scared to go back to? There must be one or two that you think, ugh, that place gives me the chills.
That park that I worked in was
in
pretty
Hillbrow.
Scary. Yeah, that was pretty scary. We also did another project on dark buildings, hijacked buildings,
mm-hmm.
which I actually thought would be worse than it was. It wasn't really as bad as what I thought.
Is that the stuff that you did with Nicholas Bauer of The Mail and Guardian at that stage?
Nicholas Bauer and I did the park story, yeah. The one with the junkies.
And the buildings one? Was that a documentary or was that photographs?
Yeah, it's photographs. I actually worked with an architectural student called Harold Johnson.
Hmm.
And he was doing his thesis, and he contacted me and he said, "Well, there's this building I want to work in. You look like you know your way around the dark part of town."
Gee, is that a compliment or an insult? You look like you know your way around the dark part of town. You're like, oh, shit.
Well, at least they'll know not to mess with you because they assume you'll be able to handle yourself.
You ever had a weapon pulled on you?
Yeah.
Okay. What kinds?
Gun, knife.
And then what? How do you then talk yourself out of situations like that?
You remain calm.
Shit.
Yeah, you have to.
You've got to go, hey, man, just a photographer.
You know, the last time a guy pulled a gun out in front of me, he wasn't actually pulling it at me. He was pulling – I was in a dark building, and he said, "Come with me," and there was like a hole in the wall, and he pulled a 9mm out of the wall.
Oh, my God.
And like your heart kind of stops, and you're like a bit of a cold sweat, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, but, you know – as long as you don't overreact in that situation, you should be fine.
Where do you want to go next? I mean, if you've done these things, you obviously are not the kind of guy who's going to start taking pictures of still lives.
Yeah.
What do you want to do after this?
I don't know. I'm quite interested in doing something just on... I feel like when I started this, I was more about like the adrenaline of it, you know. And as I've grown up and as I've gotten older, I've read more books for a start, which is better. Like,
you don't need to be in dangerous situations. Read other people's stories. Yeah.
Like Rian Milan's My Trader's Heart, you know. And that like really opened your eyes. And then I was starting to make connections between what I was seeing and what was happening in our society and what was causing it and whatever. So it feels like, you know, like in the book, he says you walk around with cataracts on your eyes, so these cataracts are becoming removed. So you become more aware to the country you live in, and you're becoming, I feel like I've learned more about my own country. So I think as far as the next project goes, I don't know, maybe it will be something as, you know, as hardcore or whatever, but I'm kind of interested in going into the homelands of South Africa and documenting each part of it, you know, like the zoos, cool. The vendors, the clauses. The
almost doing like a cultural history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cultural history, cultural present. That would be cool. Mm. That'd be very, very cool. And also there are obviously stories there that need telling as well.
Yeah, of course. You know,
stuff that will be lost if we don't go in and we don't speak to people.
Yeah, I was in Lesotho recently, like very rural Lesotho.
Yeah.
I went by horseback, so for 4 days in the mountains. And it was...
That's how Mabale comes to work every morning.
Yeah,
she's from the mountains.
I am Lesotho, so it makes complete sense to me. Yeah.
Have you got gum boots under the table?
No, it's spring weather, those boots get hot.
So what did you see in Lesotho?
I just learned a lot, man. It's wild up there, like up in the north, further out above Makgotlong side. You know, there's no police, it's not police, there's no roads up there. It's just completely cultural, which I found really interesting. And there was stories of guys taking marijuana down into KZN and then getting robbed by the Zulus in the KZN side. So taking cattle from KZN up into Lesotho and then guys from Zulu, the Zulus.
So basically
up.
Nothing has changed up there since the 1800s.
It's archaic. It's crazy. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah, you know, I found it really, really interesting. And there's constantly these little spats going on, you know. And the interesting thing is it's within South Africa, but they're two separate countries at the same time.
Do you like living in Joburg? I mean, is this a good place to be based with all of this stuff that you want to do?
I love Joburg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to live in Cape Town. A lot of RT people want to go and live in Cape Town.
To do what? To drink coffee.
To do what? Yeah. I'm with you. I don't understand why people are so excited about one particular place in South Africa when there's so many different things going on in other parts of the country, right?
Yeah. Joburg is on fire as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a massive energy here, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of cool things, and it's a great network. Everyone's just kind of, you know, feeding off of each other's energy, I think.
Who's your favorite photographer?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Well, you don't have to just give me one. You can give me three.
I really like Peter Hugo's work.
Tell me about Peter Hugo.
Peter Hugo, maybe you saw those images of the Nigerians under the bridge with the hyenas.
Oh, is that him? Yeah,
that's
love
him.
Those.
That's him. And I was lucky enough to assist him a few times when he was working. And he just kind of...
You interned for him, basically?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah,
okay.
He kind of like expanded my vision on things, you know.
Right.
Opened my world a little bit.
Are you very technical about this stuff? I mean, do you know about like how long you have to have an exposure of aperture opening and all that kind of thing? Do you measure the light?
Yeah, I like to keep my work, because it's documentary-based, right, which means it can be very loose. It doesn't have to be super technical.
Right.
But I do like to keep a very technical aspect to it, because I want to kind of cross the boundary between fine art and documentary, you know. So I want to be documenting real stuff, but I want to be able to print it A0, A1. I want it to look good when someone stands in front of a massive print.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, man, listen, all the best to you. I think this is fascinating stuff. Your work is great. Are you going to have any exhibitions anytime soon? Is there anywhere we can see your documentary still?
Yeah, I've got an exhibition coming up at Circa Gallery in November.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's come along to that.
Yeah.
What a gallery, huh?
Yeah, what a gallery.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, what kind of stuff you put up there?
It's the series we did on dark buildings.
Okay.
So it's dark buildings, illegal immigrants. It's quite an interesting story.
Shit, I'm sure. And that's all in Joburg.
Yeah, it's all in Joburg, yeah. Mainly in Doornfontein, yeah.
All right, go along to the Circa Gallery in November and you can see some of Jono's work there. Jono Wood, thank you so much for coming to see us, man.
Pleasure.
And we'll catch up with you again soon.
Cool, thank
you. Pop by any time, absolutely. Very, very good. In a moment or two, we will meet Miss Prue and DJ Soso, who are handling the new show in the evening after Touch. It's once a week, but for this week, they're in a couple of times, and we'll speak to them about their show, what they're going to be doing. We'll also speak to Aria Kelman and to Katlego Moaduba, who we haven't seen here for a little while, about what they're planning on their show, and plenty more between now and 10 o'clock. Are we ever gonna know? You should make up your mind. Take you back to my shrine, and I'ma need the whole night. And a little bit more. got to talk about this tomorrow. There are a lot of people who've messaged me this morning saying they also listen to us in the shower. And some people who listen to us in the bath, and some people who listen to us while they're on the can.
Oh.
We are just everyone, yeah, we're such part of life.
Yeah.
Well, intrinsic to life.
We'll get to that on Monday because we don't have time today. We've got so many people we've got to speak to. I want to go to Cape Town for a second. Speak to Tracy Randall. Tracy has completed an MA at UCT in historical studies. So she's my kind of person, a historian. You know how I'm always interested in this stuff. And who were we talking to the other day about that slave calendar?
The slave calendar?
Yeah, I remember there's that calendar coming out.
What?
Or I think I saw it at the Lurie's. It's fascinating. This is a calendar. You know why so many slaves in the Cape arrived there and were given names? Because no one could pronounce their names from Malaysia or wherever else they were from. And a lot of the colored population in Cape Town, if you ask them their surname, they'll say it's January or February or April.
October.
Or exactly. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they were just named for the year that they were registered on the slave register.
Oh, my goodness.
So when you meet someone called October or November or September, that's because their slave ancestor on the male side would have been given that surname.
Sure.
For the month they were registered. Unbelievable, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was at the Lurie's, I saw it. So, I'm interested in the history of how, you know, the different races interact in the Cape, and Tracy's really, when it comes to this stuff, ideally placed to talk to us about it. Her undergraduate had focused on South African history and archaeology, and also the slave and indigenous visual and public histories. So she worked on a wine estate, and she figured out, just outside of Franschhoek, what the contact zones were between the colonialists, the indigenous inhabitants and the slaves, the farm owners, the farm workers, and obviously how that's changed over, 300 years of history in that part of the world. So I thought, you know what, here's someone doing some fascinating work. Let's speak to her and find out what she can teach us. Hey, Tracy, good morning.
Hi, morning.
I hope my introduction wasn't too long. You've done so much stuff, I didn't want to leave anything out.
Well, I always feel that I'll never be an expert in anything. I just have to, the more I read, the less I know, I feel sometimes. So,
well, learning. They say that's how you know you're smart. The more you read, the less you know. Now, Tracy, when you're studying stuff like the colonial history of South Africa, the slave history of South Africa, and even the more recent history when it comes to farm workers and all the rest of it, you realize how fragile this ecosystem is. You know, you realize how it's all kept in place by very delicate balances, and those balances can shift.
Absolutely, and I feel that once you really start to go into that multiple layering of human history on a landscape, and especially our history in the Cape and in South Africa, you realize what we're standing on is a whole bunch of historical fault lines that are standing beneath our feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all you need is just a shift in one direction before something is going to come up to the surface. And it's so often those historical fault lines aren't even acknowledged, you know, that the bend in the street corner is because it actually rests on a, you know, 18th century fort. And that's why the street is shaped that way. But,
wow.
I mean, we walk on colonial history on dispossession of land every day, I think.
I find this stuff really, really interesting. I know a lot of people don't, but when you said that bend in the road that actually goes around an old fort that doesn't exist anymore, that kind of stuff excites me. Like, do you walk around Cape Town and you see a rock or you see a broken, crumbling wall and you wonder what was there before?
I walk around Cape Town with totally different eyes. It's a very odd thing to be as a historian when you've understood all these layers and you've looked at them.
Mm.
I mean, when I talk about that bend in the corner, I was in the archives looking at documents which showed old fortifications, the sea lines as they were built at the Cape, you know, due to battles between the English and the French and the Dutch. And literally, I looked at later maps and could literally see that that bend was because of that fortification. You know, so to walk on a landscape where you can understand that. I mean, even when you look at we had an occurrence of the bubonic plague at the Cape in 1901,
mm-hmm.
and it was one of the first examples that we had of forced removals because of so-called health or sanitation that created Indabeni. So the creation of kind of these first locations based on a plague that was actually bought on a British ship, actually.
Wow.
But, you know, so you start to walk through all of these separations and you can see them in time. And it's like being a weird time traveler as you drive through the city or you drive through the country to see all of this stuff. And then you think, oh my God, it's just not acknowledged. No wonder we're bubbling up here. No wonder we're like, you have people screaming at the surface.
Don't you find it fascinating to sometimes squint your eyes and look around and imagine what something looked like 200 years ago?
I have done that many times. You know, and for me also, because I've also looked into indigenous histories, I also try, you know, we also think, I mean, I've also worked with wine estates, and you think that this looks so natural, you know, the way that the landscape looks now, the way that the mountains are shaped, or the way that, but it's actually not. I mean, it's really, you know, over 350 years or more of shaping that landscape to make it look natural, which mm-hmm. it isn't. And then, of course, we have a longer indigenous use of the landscape, which was, you know, what's always amazed me is that many of our roads are based on paths that indigenous people had walked, that elephants had already kind of forged their way. So Franschhoek was originally called Olifantshoek.
Wow.
And there were so many elephants that used to come through, and the roads that we travel on were called the Olifantspad. So, you know, here we are walking on all of these things. We drive on them now, and it's like, I feel like shouting out the window half the time. Do you know what you're driving on, you know?
But yeah, and nobody thinks of an elephant when they're in Franschhoek now.
No.
Huh?
Well, it's, no. I mean, and I think no one even realizes that all the indigenous layers of Franschhoek, because it's very much packaged as a French culinary capital now.
Yeah, what are those layers? Tell me about what kind of people lived there 100, 200 years ago.
Well, I mean, even talking about thousands of years ago, because there's rock paintings that are at the surrounding Vemmershoek Dam on the walls there.
Yeah.
And no one kind of talks about those aspects of Franschhoek's past. And, of course, Franschhoek has all the layers of the Huguenots, the Dutch settlers, German settlers, slaves, as you were saying, all over from East Indies, East Africa. You know, even some West African slaves. And what's also amazing is that Stellenbosch was actually established with a lot of so-called, they called them free black slaves at the time. It was slaves who were freed, some of the first slaves at the Cape who were freed from service. So when we talk about some of the early settlers, they were actually also freed slaves who owned land and property and who unbelievably owned slaves themselves.
So you're telling me that there were, because you see, we see our history as being so binary and so black and white. There were black slaves who were freed from service and then became masters, landowners, and black slave owners over and above that. What an interesting and rich history we have, as messed up as we are as humans. It does show you that we're all in this together, right?
Well, I think when you start to engage with the complexities, you know, I'm not really interested in simplistic history or, you know, I mean, the past is really, and the present we're in is really complex. Mm-hmm. And I feel often about a lot of things, I feel really torn or in my own mind, I hear different perspectives, you know, and I think it's an interesting time to be in right now. And I just wish we would do that with the past as well. You know, to not present these like binary narratives. I think it's much more interesting when you actually sit in that complexity and you feel a bit tortured about it, you know?
Yeah, we need to feel quite uncomfortable. We shouldn't think the past was all this peaceful time where all of our ancestors mostly got along and lived these pastoral lives in the fields, ran around, there was no chaos or war. Basically, it was murder and rape and pillaging and supreme hatred for each other almost every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I mean, that's also because what are we telling the past through? Often it's through these colonial archives, which are based on court records. So if we were to base humanity or the human experience on court documents,
Oscar Pistorius and President Zuma would be the only people that they'd ever talk about from our time.
I mean, then I would kind of say, let's just blast off humanity because I mean, there's got to be more than those things. I mean, we know that there are more than those things. I mean, that's why I think the studies of humanity, the humanities is important, because it's about what makes us human and what it means to be human.
Tell me about land distribution, because this is something that you also have quite a lot to say about. And obviously, because of your studies in this field, you're in a good position to be able to talk about land, which changes hands as many times as you change a baby's nappy if you look through the long lens of history. But where are we at the moment, and what should be done?
So I think we need more places and spaces and people to look at their histories of their particular piece of land. I mean, I spent 12 years on just one farm.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could carry on forever with even that and all the multiple layering. And that was pivotal for us to try and understand how do you start to redress what we're sitting in now. And you can't really do that unless you've taken this longer perspective of all the creation of how we got here. But even then, so what do you do once you know? I mean, that's the difficult part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to unearth all this stuff and to recognize it. But then what do you do going forward? Because it's a fine line between, I think, protection. So how do you protect heritage or things like wine estate buildings or landscapes? But then with that, how are you not also then enforcing what's come before if you're protecting it?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, the farm that I'd worked for, Solms Delta, the owner of the farm, I mean, this was part of his process, Mark Solms, in unearthing it all. But he realized in the process of unearthing it and realizing it that actually he still wanted to keep his land in some ways because he's a human being. You know, we're also selfish and we have self. But then knowing what that is, what do you do with that recognition of your own selfishness? As well as realizing that something has to be done. So, yeah, in his particular case, it was a 50-50 partnership with the workers, which is where we are now in terms of land ownership. And I think it's also about a different way of understanding land because he sees himself as a custodian of land, which is quite different in terms, you know, ownership is very much predicated on absolute control and power over, you know, it's more about rights. But I think, you know, many have argued we have to kind of look at an example of land that involves both rights and duties. So it actually involves an element of care. And it's actually recognizing that even our particular ownership isn't just, it's going to be gone.
Yeah. You nobody know? Owns anything forever.
Yeah. So we actually all are custodians. We all are, in some ways, I suppose, you know, we think what our lives are not going to last forever. Our ownership, even if it runs into our children, it's not forever. It's going to be done. So,
yeah. At some point, it's going to have to change hands. So get over yourself.
Exactly.
But you see, this is also cool because you're a historian, so you understand that. A lot of people don't. They only think of themselves now, what they can have, what they can keep, and how much they can extract from it. So I know, you probably see things very differently to how the rest of us see things, and I'm glad that you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think more students, I would love to see more young people taking history and authoring history, but not just within academia, because I think that stays within itself so often. I really love public engagement. I love, I think that let's have these academic discussions within the public sphere.
Yeah.
Let's have this really difficult stuff, because that's a really... I mean, that's the stuff where things really change, I feel.
Right. Well, listen, Tracy, pleasure to talk to you. Tracy Randall is in Cape Town. She's just started something called Cape Herstorian, right? A heritage and historical research consultancy. You also have two kids, so you've got to get back to them. You've got lots of work to do. You're doing your PhD. I'm going to leave you alone.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Gareth.
Thank you, Tracy. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, great.
There you go. Isn't that interesting, Mubs?
Yeah, huh? Shit.
Multi-layered complex history, not the kind of history that you think or that they told you at school. You actually have to get down into the bare bones of this stuff to figure it out. I mean, I've got a slave ancestor.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, and most of us in this country would.
Yeah.
Most of us would have more than one. So you've got to get into it. And most people don't even know their grandparents' names, but they want to claim a history that isn't theirs, whether they're white or black or colored or Indian or anything else. And what does that mean even, colored? You know, they talked about this on Frankly Speaking the other day, and it was a very controversial podcast.
It was. I mean, you remember after Wade van Niekerk won at the Olympics, you know, it sparked an entire conversation about being colored and what it is and what it means. So all very complicated stuff.
By the way, if you want to hear Frankly Speaking, go along to cliffcentral.com and you can find it on podcasts. There's all kinds of really exciting content. I know that now we're on Touch Central, and if you're listening to us, you're probably waiting for the next song, which is fine, but there is loads of stuff if you want to hear it on cliffcentral.com too for you to go and listen to anytime. It's all there, available to you 24/7, 365. Coming up, Miss Prue, DJ Soso, and Aria Kelman and Katleho Moaduba. the host of the next two shows that we've got to meet. We've got about a half an hour left of me, and then Mubs and Ben and I are out of here. I've been looking, I've been searching. Man a hustle, man a work. Could I be ordinary person? Within you seen, I got the blessing. Ooh, 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 no. All right, this is Burna Boy with Check and Balance. Touch Central, baby. We're here on the app, we're on the website. You can check us out in one of the live shows that we're starting off. It started last night already. They took over from Touch, 6 o'clock, and they were pumping until 9. Was it 8 or 9? Was it 8? You see, I've passed out. I fell asleep, Prue. You got to forgive me.
No, it's cool. It was till 8.
I fell into bed and I could hardly move. I was completely useless to humanity. All right, you've got a co-host. Miss Prue, you will remember, she's been a part of the CliffCentral.com family for some time. And she's brought on her partner in crime to do a show on Touch Central. His name is DJ Soso. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Gareth?
Nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
We met last week already.
Yes.
We were doing photos and all kinds of other things. How did you two meet? What's the story behind you?
We've met like a long time ago. We actually had a show on Vow FM.
That's Voice of Vits, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And
it was around 2011, just after the show started.
Campus radio fun. You can just do whatever you want, right?
Exactly. So we had so much fun. When I was called for this opportunity, I just remembered that Soso is also, you know, a very good radio DJ, and we've worked well together, and the show would be good for the both of us.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be terrific. I mean, there was a lot of energy last night. Taking over after Touch is insane, because the guy is just... I don't know how he keeps it up for 3 hours.
Yeah, I think I tried to also tell Prue that let's not think about him when we're doing our show. Let's not think about the energy that he brought into studio and just to try to do us instead.
Now, what are you guys going to be doing? Tell me. Let's cut to the chase here.
Mixes.
Yeah, we're going to do mixes. The best of both hip-hop and house, because I play hip-hop and he plays house music.
Right.
So we're going to put the two together in one show.
Yeah, and try to also give the listeners exclusive news from the stars themselves. So like I said to Prue, let's not report on stories.
Yeah.
Let's rather have someone literally send us a voice note and say, these are my latest projects, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
And then we just play that for the listeners so that, you know, we don't even misquote anyone. We just say, no, this is what the guy said.
Beautiful. So it's raw.
Yeah, so that's like a feature called From the Horse's Mouth.
Mm. Nice.
So literally, they'll be telling us what they're doing next.
You're calling people horses. That's beautiful. Now, Prue, you got a couple of songs out. We've heard a couple of your songs on radio.
Yes.
I mean, that's going well, huh?
It's going very well.
Oh,
have you seen the music video?
Boast a little bit. Come, tell me. Let people know.
Look, I just released my second single. Not just, it's been a couple of months. It's called Ameni. Mm-hmm. It's doing really, really well. The video is doing extremely well on YouTube. I hope you've seen it.
Uh-huh.
You can YouTube it. It's on 800 and something plus views already, and I'm hoping to get to 1 million. So guys, please help me out, man. I'll be the first female DJ, you know, to have plus million views on YouTube, which is a big deal.
Get on there and see it.
Yeah.
It's also a really good song. Let me see if I can find it quickly. We'll add to some views at the same time.
And I actually encourage people to see that video. This is me supporting Prue because of what happens there on the video. I mean, the context of the video. And I was telling Prue that, you know, the video is based on her going for to be initiated as a sangoma. And she comes from underwater. And I think that's, you know, it's part of the video that some people are missing.
Yeah.
So I encourage people to see that video.
And I enjoyed making it. It was so hectic. And the one thing that people don't know is that I'm scared of water. So
are you a sangoma?
Look.
Come on. Give me the real story. Did you want to? It's beautifully filmed, by the way.
Yeah. It was one of my favorite videos that we've done so far. So, and it took us like 2 days to film the video, dude. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it's magic. And did it cost a lot of money to make? Because these music videos are sometimes expensive, right? Are they? You're not just coughing. She's still dying. The cost is killing her. Yeah. Sure. But it's beautifully done. So you were in the water. I can see you here. Yeah.
I was in the water. Popped out of the water.
Did they want you to show some titties? I mean, you look great. You really do.
No.
They've got you in a bodysuit.
Dude, it was supposed to look like my skin so that I look like...
Like you're naked.
Yeah.
But it's sort of golden color. But that is the color of you. You are sort of golden in color.
Goldish.
Yeah. You're golden, so. Baby.
Yellow to gold.
All right, so tell me about you.
Yo, I have a lot to say about myself, but I'll cut it short. Yes, I've done Avow FM for the past five years. Mm-hmm. Started off doing the lunch show, like 12 to 3, and then moved on to do a specialty house show. Mm-hmm. I'm also a practicing lawyer.
If I'd known that beforehand, we would never have put you on. A lawyer.
I'll leave it. I'll resign for tax central.
Mabale, can you believe that?
We have
well, you didn't
house.
Finish your law degree,
lawyer.
Did you?
No, I did. No, so that's pretty cool.
Yes.
So you were studying law and you got involved in campus radio.
Yeah, so I was at Vets, then I got involved in campus radio. And then I'm also in music production. We just had with my co-producer. We just had a song that came out under Tribe Records in the UK.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it got released internationally. We're still finalizing the video now.
One of the things when Touch and I had the conversation about who we should have on the lineup that we were very keen on is to get one or two experienced people who are really well known, and also to get people who are young and talented and haven't had a break. Because you know how hard it is to get into radio, right?
Extremely.
And it shouldn't be, because they don't even have any talent left in radio. So, I mean, they should be begging, borrowing, and stealing from pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
But they don't take any risks. And they don't try anyone new.
Yeah, not hardly. We apply and apply, but then you get, obviously, the same people that are recycled on radio all the time. So... Mm.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem is the leadership. There's just too many wrong people up high in the echelons of power in radio. So then that's how the wrong people get hired in the first place. Mm. So yeah, that's my view on it.
No, they're just assholes. What are you even talking about? I've met radio management.
Cliff Logic.
Terrible people. So how did your love affair with music start, both of you? I mean, music is something we all take very personally. Mm-hmm. We all have our favorite sound, we all have our favorite genres, we all have our favorite songs. There's stuff that you grow up with that kind of informs the way you are. Now, when you put together your own songs, Miss Prue, do you have influences? Who do you think are the most important people in music that you want to pay attention to?
The most important people I'd love to pay attention to, you know, recently I've been signed with Ambitious Entertainment, so I've been exposed to new talent and the kind of people that have a talent that I've never seen before, like MT and Fifi Cooper and Aries.
Well, MT features in this song.
Yes, he does. I would love to work with him individually because he's a very experienced and a very talented artist. So whenever we're in studio and we're doing something different, just hearing what they do is very inspiring to me. I'm working on my next single right now, and I must say they're really helping me with it. So I think it's going to be another banger.
Listen, this video is so cool. I'm just again being reminded of the rocks that go up into the air and the people dancing in the forest, and it's beautiful.
It is. It was kind of like the I don't know if you've watched, what's this? The blue guy. Oh my gosh, I forgot his name.
The blue guy.
The Avatar.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Smurfs.
No way. That's what people think when you say blue guy. But no, it's kind of like based on that concept where, you know, you have the air bending, you have the earth bending. Yeah. So, and they're trying to protect me from the baddies in the industry. And I'm running throughout the whole music video. So, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Mums, have you seen it?
Yes, I have. Just I have. Fantastic.
How many times? Can we get to a million?
I think at least five.
We're on 800.
I think I've watched it at least five times.
Listen, she's on 830,000 views so far.
That's why we need to get to that million.
Let me tweet this out right now. And get more people to.
Yay.
So what are you going to do after this? I mean, if you do get to a million, then people are going to have expectations for the next one, right?
Like I said, I'm currently working on my next single, and the pressure is on. Dude, it is. It's real. We've done a couple of tracks, but I feel like there's more that we can do. So yeah,
you want
the
to
pleasure
hit.
Is deep, man.
You want to hit?
How about you? What's your music love? I mean, she was talking about hip hop just now. Yours is house.
It's not only house. I'm actually quite versed in throughout most urban genres. My story is quite funny. At home, we used to have like a lot of taxis. So I used to listen to what the drivers used to play on tape back in the 90s. So I grew up on that Kwaito music, and I used to watch a lot of Bob TV, music TV for those of you who grew up in Northwest and Gauteng.
Bob TV, who doesn't remember that?
Well, dude.
White people used to watch that because our music videos are so terrible.
So I grew up on hip hop because of music TV on Bob TV, and then I grew up on Kwaito because of the music that was being played in the taxis. And then from there, my late uncle introduced me to house music, late 90s. And yeah, from there, friends at school, there was this guy who used to like just tell me about the latest like house releases. He got me into compilations and I started listening more. And then, yeah, that's how my love for house grew. And then came in stations like Your Y, and then I used to listen there for DJ mixes. And then from there, I was like, okay, I think I want to do this.
Remember when Y was really hot?
It was. Yeah. It was extremely hot.
2000, 2001?
Yeah.
That's what I want us to do in 2016.
Yeah.
Not that kind of music. Our kind of music.
Yes.
But we got to be like that.
We can do it.
We can do it. Yeah. It can definitely happen. I think we've got the most talented people on Touch Central right now.
That's right.
It's definitely going to happen.
And you two are among them. Make it happen.
Definitely.
Don't disappoint me.
We already started last night.
If you screw up, I promise you that Touch and I will fire your ass.
We've got a lawyer. We've got a lawyer.
We'll take them to CCMA.
You won't even make it to the CCMA. What we do when we fire people here is we throw them off the top of the building. Like in Islamic countries, if they find out you're gay, we just throw you from the top of the building.
I'm so glad this is being recorded.
Going Game of Thrones on us.
All right, listen, you two. Thank you so much for popping by this morning. I know you've got a show later tonight. We will be listening. Is it tonight?
No,
or is it
it's next week Thursday.
Slick tonight. That's right. Okay,
so next week Thursday.
We're back on next week, and we will join you then. Everybody, listen in. To Miss Prue and to DJ Soso. And don't forget to go and watch Amen Nisha. It's very important to Prue. She gets to 1 million views, and we can make that happen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you. Very cool. Here's DJ Maporisa with WizKid and Soweto Baby. Oh, baby, it is 9:45 in touchcentral.fm. Coming up in the next 3 hours, these two, Aria Kelman, Katlego Mwaduba, look at them. They've been posting videos with the dog ears and all week. In fact, I think you had one up on Monday night. I think you had one up yesterday. There's a dog picture of the two of you every day. It's fantastic. Hello, Kellerman. How are you?
What's happening, yo?
Good, dude. How are you?
Good. How are you, Garrett?
Catlicious. Look at her.
Aw, making me blush now.
You know, I haven't seen a bad picture of you yet, which irritates me. I hate people like you.
No, trust me, there is one.
Oh, where? Show me, please.
We have to delete some of those. I can't let bad pictures come out.
Mabali and I were looking at one of the Instagram vids, one of the things you put up on Twitter just now. And she was saying, oh, she's so beautiful. Yeah. Right?
Aw, thanks, Mabali.
It's annoying, you bitch.
You see, the real Mabali just came out for a second, then ran back in inside. No, but listen, aside from that too, I mean, you've done some really exciting things in the last 2 years. You've been all over television.
Yes, some we shall not name.
Well, no, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that, because you're not uncontroversial.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, tell me about Disky Divas. Come on, talk to me about it. Come on.
Well, it's a phase in my life that I wish I could erase.
No.
No, seriously.
You would want to erase it?
Yes. Okay, the whole fight.
You hated that whole thing.
I didn't hate the whole thing. It was good. I mean, I met some really great people. I'm still friends with Wendy.
Okay.
So, yes.
And the others not so
much.
No,
I'm not those. But that not
fight,
my type of girl.
That fight for me was interesting because we don't often see people in South Africa are terrified of being in verbal disagreement, let alone in physical disagreement with someone.
Yeah.
And so when it happens, we all go, oh, like it's something we've never seen before. But
I
actually,
also never saw it. I was in the green room. I wish I saw it. You know, I only saw it before I got fired, or on the day I got fired.
Yeah, how did that go down?
Oh, not so great. They gave us a whole long speech, and we sat down with Basizana and Clifford and all
these. Oh, was it Tswelopele?
Yes. But now they're in Connect. It's not Tswelopele. It's Connect. So they sat us down like the next day. The fight was on a Friday, and then the Saturday we came in the morning, and they sat us down.
And did Basi say you are disgusting, common
fishwives? No, she said some really... No, she said some really nice things about me. And I actually thought she was going to be like, no, you can stay on the show. And then, so I was so surprised when she's like, unfortunately, we have to let you go. And I was like, oh, but you were busy here.
Oh, but
you know, you're telling me that I'm such a sweet girl and you want to work with me. And now all of a sudden you're firing me. So I think she was just lining me up just to be like, yeah.
Did that moment affect, you know, relationships with family members, with, you know, personal friends of yours that have known you for years? What were the closest people to you saying about that whole
thing? Funny, my mom's side of the family, they're the ones who are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's so ratchet. Like, why is she just really? And I'm like, but guys, you're supposed to be on my corner and fighting with me, you know? But yeah, my mom was there with me the whole way. We even went to court for like 3 months. Imagine me standing.
That sucks.
Yes, with criminals. Like, I did something.
Yeah, no, you don't suit the criminals.
Just standing next to some big guy with tattoos who's been dealing in heroin.
You know,
for the
being
last
handcuffed,
years.
Being handcuffed, and there I'm standing in front of a judge, and he's like, okay, so accused number one and accused number two. Imagine.
Can't be easy. All right, well, that's in the past now. I mean,
definitely,
you know. You'd rather not have gone there. I mean, there are lots of things in my life that if I could wipe them out, I suppose I might. But it does make you.
I learned from it, yes.
Yeah,
I definitely learned from it. So now I know. Stay far away from reality shows.
Yeah, and your radio husband has been missing you.
Yes, and I missed him.
It's difficult. The court case took a toll on all of us.
It ruined your relationship for a while. You know, you had to be there to support her, which you weren't.
Yeah, which he wasn't. Did he
just disappear, or did he keep messaging you?
No, he disappeared.
Are you one of those fair weather friends, Aria?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not going to be there for you if things go wrong. No worries.
Unless you provide chocolates, and then you might come running.
And well, if you do, chocolate in any situation will get me coming running, so.
Right, hang on. I've heard about this. I've never actually seen you devouring huge amounts of chocolate.
Aria's addicted. Like,
I love it so much.
We talked about addictions the other day.
But you're
crack.
Not fat. How did that happen?
Well, I think I'm going to get diabetes in a few years. I'd love chocolate. Like, literally, it's like my favorite thing. And if I'm, anytime I'm stressed, anytime I'm having a bad day, it's there for me. It's there when you need it the most.
Do you have a bad day every day?
Life is stressful, yo.
I'm going to ask someone who knows. Katlego Molay is the producer of this show, and she's also the producer of O'Neill's and Daenerys' show after this. But you've worked with Kelman for how long? 2 years?
Oh my God.
2.5 years now?
Too long.
So yeah. What's the problem with the chocolate? Is it as bad as we think?
I mean, it's like it's like a drug. It's like cocaine in a chocolate bar.
Yeah, listen, she's one to speak because she's probably worse than I am.
No,
so do you
I
eat it every day?
Yeah, the two of you are enablers.
Yeah, we enable each other. We really do. And she knows that, like, she'll sometimes put, like, a slab of chocolate on the table during a show when she knows I can't have any.
Yeah.
And then she uses it against
me. I'm trying to help you.
No, it's not. It doesn't help
me. I'm
trying
to help your addiction. Ari and I could have, like, the biggest fight ever. And if I buy him a chocolate, then everything is fine.
Yeah, it's
the easiest way. You two also get so passive aggressive with each other. I mean, this is the funny thing.
What do you mean passive aggressive? What are you trying to say?
I've been in this office sometimes, and I just see that you two aren't talking to each other. I just leave it. I mean, it's none of my business. You've got to figure out the show, and as long as the show happens, I'm fine. But I know sometimes you actually have got into situations where you couldn't stand each other for like weeks on end. You wouldn't even talk.
Yeah, we already leaves the office to go home and comes back just before his show because he's mad at me.
Yeah.
Talk about passive-aggressive, huh?
Yeah.
I've got that model waxed.
Yeah, totally. So how do you feel about this very dysfunctional relationship between the producer and your radio husband? Hey, Kat?
No, I'm okay as long as it doesn't affect me.
It doesn't. You don't care about that. You're just getting on with it.
Producer Kat loves this. Yeah, because now she's got someone to moan with in the group.
Your theme song from now on, when the two of them go at it, is this. All right, I'm going to play it for you, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So whenever they start misbehaving and behaving like idiots, then all you have to do is I'm going to give you this song, and you could play this, all right?
Okay. I don't fuck with you. You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
All right, we'll use that from now on.
Yes, that's my theme song. Yes.
All right. So, what's the plan for the show, guys? What are we going to be doing? What's going to make this thing stand out? What's going to make it different?
Yeah. So we kind of took it easy for yesterday and today, and next week we're going to start bringing in some of our regular features. So we've already lined up quite a few different cool contributors. We've got if you listen to Cliff Central, the guys from Gentlemen by Choice are going to be hanging out on Thursdays.
Nice.
Teebs is going to pop over.
Also, you could do with some male backing.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Gareth?
Against these two cats. Are you kidding? Yeah. Two katlehos is dangerous.
It's a lot, yeah.
Oh, it's very dangerous.
So, yeah, and we've got some really cool features as well. I think for us, the most important thing is to drive the show on social media. So that's really where we want it to kind of live. So the features that we've got are really, really interactive things. Yeah, it's not about us speaking to each other. Well, I mean, it is. But it's kind of getting everybody involved and rallying around one thing.
Well, yesterday, I mean, there was so much going on. Calls, interaction, Twitter, Facebook, WeChat, WhatsApp, the
horns.
Whole damn lot.
Yes, horns, yes.
Everything. It was insane, right?
Yeah, it was very cool.
I think we got to keep that up. And also some very, very good music in between. Are you talking to Felicity about what kind of music you want?
Yeah, listen, she's been such a rock star with the playlist. I mean, if you look at the songs lined up in front of you, she's worked around the
clock.
She didn't
even go to sleep the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's done amazing stuff. And also, I think what's great is that the audience are telling us what songs they want to hear.
Right.
So yesterday we had a lot of that, from Simon and Garfunkel requests to a little Brenda Fussy. It was
you're playing Vulindlela, right?
Yeah, yes. That was a request.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some guy sent me a message. Said, I just heard Vulindlela on Touch Central, and I didn't expect that at all. So he liked it. This guy called Bongani sent me an email there and then. So it's getting a lot of attention. I'm going to leave you guys to it. I know you got 2 hours to fill, 3 hours actually today.
Yeah.
From next week, 2 hours. And that's Aria and Kat, and they will be on every day on Monday to Friday on Touch Central. .fm. Make sure you download the app if you're listening to us on the web, or if you're on the web that you know that you can keep listening to us on the web too. And of course, if you're interested in what's going on cliffcentral.com, check that out too. They're about to start the sex show, Ben.
Oh,
right.
What's on the bill there today?
Oh, just
what's John T rummaging through today?
Different kinds of filth. You know, I'm sure that he's doing gay stuff today. So there's going to be a whole focus on gay pride, on gay events and the gay community. That's all happening on Cliff Central. And on Touch Central next, these two, Ari and Kat.
Yeah, we'll be talking about condoms, though, because we're speaking about...
Cyril's talking about them. Everybody's talking about condoms at the moment. Apparently, these will be in grape and apple flavor. So we're all very excited about that. In case you needed the deputy president to help you out with your sex life, now you have an excuse. All right, there we go. All right, we will see you tomorrow. No, it's tomorrow, Saturday, Monday. At 6 a.m., bright and early. CliffCentral.com.